When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you.
Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more.
You get Stephen Cluxton this morning, Aisling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can retire.
This is your Pulitzer.
No pressure. Thanks, David. Yeah. I'll go up and find out what room he is. Knock on the door.
OTB AM. Live. Weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 5. You can text us 53106, tweet us at Off the Ball. We're speaking about football now for the next hour. You can listen across the country on News Talk on this wet day. Also watch us on the Off the Ball digital and social channels on YouTube, Facebook and on Twitter, or X, or whatever you want to call it. It's time now to preview the new Premier League season with the Cove Ramblers manager Shane Keegan. Shane, how are you?
All good, Jetty, yourself?
Great to see you as always.
Thank you very much. Yeah, a couple of weeks off. Good to be back in studio.
We had a 2-2 draw between your team and Wexford last night, and you equalised in injury time. It's always good to have a 2-2 draw that way rather than the other way around.
Yeah, it is. We were 2-0 down, so to manage to come out with 2-2, as they say, particularly when the equaliser comes so late from the penalty spot. They're a good side, Wexford, in fairness. So they're after improving a fierce amount of in recent weeks. So, no, we kind of got out of jail, and we'll take it.
How did you celebrate? Did you run down the touchline like Jose, did you?
I was just kind of holding my breath. When it's a penalty like that, you're just kind of holding your, it's more relief than celebration. So it is, I find, in circumstances like that. So no, I was reasonably restrained. My captain, who I'd just taken off in a kind of a last gasp throw on an extra attacker, he was behind me and he jumped up and jumped on me back and nearly broke me back. All right, so he did. But no, I was reasonably restrained.
Okay. Interesting as well, last night for Southampton, we had 3 Irish players in the win over Sheffield Wednesday: Gavin Bazunu, Ryan Manning and Will Smallbone, who's come back from Stoke now.
Yeah, they're definitely, they're one of the sides in the Championship that we're going to have all eyes on for the season, all right. And like, they're 3 guys who you would expect should start week in, week out, really.
Yeah.
Smallbone has kind of proven himself, you know, brilliant to see Bazuna back in as the first choice keeper, and hopefully he stays there for the season. I think the most interesting one is Manning. Can't quite wrap my head around how he's found it so hard to get a look in with Ireland, to be honest with you. He's been consistently excellent across a couple of different clubs over the last 2-3 seasons. But I think, like, you would expect Southampton to be right up there. Surely if he's starting week in, week out and performing well for them, and he came up with a lot of assists last year, I would think he can't be ignored if he has a good season for himself in a team that goes well, which is the hope, I suppose. It'll be interesting to see how things go for him.
They've kept a lot of their players, Southampton. Obviously there's a degree of parachute around it. Maybe Lavia will go to Liverpool, but it feels like they're more, look, the Championship is a minefield, but it feels like they're going to be probably in the top 6 at least.
Yeah, to be fair, like, obviously, you know, there tends to be 2 different ways you can go down. There's, you know, you can go down while desperately trying to stay up, and then the teams that I think do that quite often don't well equip themselves that well then for the Championship. Whereas I think there was a realisation, you know, reasonably early on with Southampton that this was what they were set for. And I think they probably had plans in place for, okay, how do we bounce back? You know, I think those plans were probably in place a couple of months ago, you know.
Luton Town, just before we get on to the contenders, it's just a great progression to see Chidozie Igbeneghu from Cork and Limerick to the Premier League now with Luton Town.
Yeah, it's certainly
a good story, really.
I think it's 4 promotions in 8 years. So what do you know? There were League Two.
Yeah, they were right down the bottom.
Years,
yeah.
Which is remarkable going. It really, really is. I think. Right in saying, I think is it Aidan O'Hara from the Indos supports them. I think
he does,
I remember
yeah.
him doing a piece before that. I found it great where he went across with his son. They've been fantastic, absolutely meteoric rise, and not a meteoric rise on the back of massive investment, just a meteoric rise on doing things right and consistently punching above their weight. Now, you know,
they're probably going down, but just Frog Benny, just it's
on a hiding to nothing from
like
the
you'd be
start
playing at Anfield, you'd be playing at Old Trafford, you know,
and listen. You know, again, okay, might be a little bit of a surprise, but I think he has shown enough, John. He's shown enough in an Ireland
Rob
jersey.
Rob Edwards
to suggest,
certainly feels as well.
Yeah, he's certainly, for me, he's shown enough consistently in an Ireland jersey. I think he's, you know, if you went over the full course of 2 seasons, the last 2 years, I would say it's between himself and Cullen as arguably to who's been Ireland's best. When he's fit and available, I think he's an excellent player, and I think he could show that he's well equipped for that level.
Listeners out there, 5306, if you have any predictions for the Premier League, anything you'd like to see, any surprises that you expect this season, because it's kicking off next Friday, Burnley against Manchester City. And once again, Burnley have Darragh O'Shea signing there, and he'll be joining Cullen and Michael Obafemi signing a long-term deal there, as opposed to, you know, the short-term one he had since January.
Yeah, look, I, he's another one that you would look and you would think he should be well able for this level. I really, really think so. It's going to be so interesting.
O'Shea should be.
O'Shea, that's what I'm talking about, 100%. Yeah. I really, really do. Now, look, with all of these things, it's going to be interesting. Those opening round team sheets are so important because they show you where a manager's head is at.
Yeah.
It really, really does. And because there's a falseness, obviously, about pre-season, you know. I find myself with my own managerial hat on, everybody's in good form in pre-season because everybody's getting loads of minutes and you're disguising who what you're seeing as your first choice 11 by chopping and changing and all that. But there is a kind of a blow dealt on that opening day of the season where if you're fully fit and you're not named in starting 11, you're immediately thinking, you know. I would expect him. I would be surprised to see Obafemi in the starting 11. But I would expect Darragh O'Shea certainly to be there. And I think he's more than capable of it.
And there's a vote of confidence in Nathan Collins going to Brentford that he's got a 6-year deal. Ben Mee there as well. Thomas Frank seems to like him. You'd expect him as the most expensive Irish player in history, and breaking his own record, that he'll get a bit more stability than he had at the end of his Wolves tenure.
Yeah, it was a bit strange what went on with Nathan. I suppose in that he went in as a big signing for Wolves, didn't really put a foot out of place until the famous red card when the wheels came off a little bit for him. Then Dawson arrives in at the club, and all of a sudden he's gone from the great future hope of the club to heading on to another club in such a short period of time. It's remarkable. I don't think he did a whole lot wrong. I don't think it was like, you know, Nathan Collins showed early promise and then had a collapse of form. I don't think there was a collapse of form. I think circumstances more than anything kind of led to the situation that he found himself in. And again, I know it's where we were one of the best teams in the world. I'm expecting all these fellas to easily equip themselves in the Premier Division, but you can't see any reason why Nathan Collins, you know, shouldn't again be a player who should really stand out this year and really, really establish himself.
He's only 22 years of age, but I need to remember that as well. So let's go through the contenders. Manchester City, they won the treble last season. They've let Gundogan and Mahrez go. But today, they've completed the signing of the 21-year-old Croatian defender Josko Vardiol for €90 million. People might remember him from the World Cup where he wore the mask. Had a brilliant World Cup for such a young player. And then he was given the runaround by Lionel Messi in the semi-final. Look, that can happen to anybody. But a statement from Manchester City today.
I thought he was an absolutely outstanding. He was the one, and look, maybe I should have known a bit more about him coming into the World Cup, but he was a player who I didn't know in fact all about him going into the World Cup, John, to be honest with you, so I would. And I just thought he was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. A Rolls Royce, a real Rolls Royce. And I kind of said that after my first game that I'd seen him in. I was saying, oh my God, this player is going to play at the very, very highest level. And it's just a dagger blow for everybody else, you know, for him to end up. City do their business so well. You know, they do their business so well. Like, you know, there was so little fuss. They just went and got Haaland, who was the biggest name gettable in that off-season. I think, to be honest with you, I think Varyol is pretty much the biggest name gettable in this window. I think he's that good. I think top three centre halves in the world, without a doubt, in my opinion. And it's a brilliant move for him. Like, you're scratching your head wondering who misses out. But you'd say that no matter who they sign, because no matter who they sign, you're wondering, unless it's a direct replacement. It's actually interesting that, like, they haven't, you know, that's the area they've decided to strengthen in, despite the fact that, as you've said, it's further up the field that they've lost a few bodies in.
Well, Kovacic has come in as well.
Kovacic has come in, and that's an underrated player, by the way. Anytime I've seen Chelsea, I have been very, very impressed with him. Really, really neat and tidy. I just thought he didn't get the plaudits he deserved, and maybe didn't feel the love that he deserved at Chelsea, to be honest with you. But again, I would put him as a really, really solid player who'll keep the thing ticking over. I don't know if I'd put him as a player that'll give you an X factor in the final third in the way that Gundogan and Mahrez did. I suppose the big hope is that Phil Foden re-emerges.
And Alvarez as well.
And Alvarez showed a hell of a lot in the minutes that he did get last year to suggest that he could be a consistent starter for them. But Foden is the one for me, John. I would have said, you know, this time last year, before the start of a Premier League season, I would have said outside tip for Premier League Player of the Year.
Nathan Murphy, who's our commentator and who goes to all the games, I asked him, what's the one player you love to see in the flesh? And he goes, Foden.
Oh, I'm with him. Honestly, John, I am. I don't think there's anything that he can't do. I don't know what happened last year or why he lost Pep's faith or what went wrong for him there, but rewind 12 months.
It was an injury, wasn't there? And the World Cup, it was a bit just... In the France game, he didn't seem to fire, or, I don't know.
Yeah, he just, as you say, for whatever reason, he just wasn't what we expected from him. But again,
and Grealish also had a fabulous season.
And for me, I would love to see, I think City now, with the couple that are gone, I think they can find a system that sees both of those players in the starting 11. I really do. If you look at the way they do this 3-box-4-3, I think the top three could end up being Grealish, Haaland and Foden, and that to me is I think that's that
with Haaland
so
I think it's, if he stays fit, 36 goals last season, then look, we're trying to make an argument here for City not to win, not to press everybody.
Best of luck.
We're trying to make an argument for City not to win. Like, when you think of, maybe hunger might be an issue, they won the treble last season, they won the Champions League, and they've fulfilled the grail, that holy grail that Guardiola wanted to achieve, but the problem is that you can't see standards slipping when Guardiola's still there.
No,
like,
can't.
If you'd left and you'd a new manager come in and say Pochettino went to City, maybe there might be a transition, but can't see it.
The strongest argument that I could make for City possibly not winning the league next year is a long-term injury to Haaland.
Yeah.
Good and all as Alvarez is, and he is good. He looks, you know, he's able to, he stepped in on a couple of occasions there where Haaland was given a rest. But it is a game changer if anything happened to Haaland. It is a game changer. And he's probably the only one that isn't replaceable by a player who's almost of identical standard. They have that much quality. The only other one that you could possibly argue is Ederson. To me, they're the only two that they don't just have somebody who seems to be equally as good just to step straight into that place. And I think the rest of the teams in the Premier League title race need to be hoping that Haaland picks up something. But he's built so robust, John, that it's very hard. And he came here with a reputation for not being able to handle a big amount of minutes. But he certainly didn't have any issue with it last year.
No, he finished very well, the season very well. Arsenal, they started so well last season, and I think they need to start well again. But Jesus is injured again, but we'll get to that in a moment. But look, the thing about it is they've done very good business. Rice being an upgrade on everything they've had, and look, it was expensive, 105 million, but they brought Timber in there as well and Havertz. But Rice is the key.
Rice is absolutely the key. They overachieved last year. You know, one way you're looking and going, they were top and they let it slip. But let's be honest, you know, if you're eighth to second. Yeah. If you're going back to this time last year.
Sorry, fifth, and then second.
Would anybody have expected them to finish second if we rewind 12 months? I don't think you'd have been a very, very brave man to say that they were going to finish in the top two this time 12 months ago. Arteta did a superb job last year. He really, really did an outstanding job. And players emerged, not emerged, it's not like they came from nowhere, right? But Odegaard for me had been floating kind of below kind of the real top level, and he has gone on to fulfil the potential. Martinelli has started to fulfil the potential. Saka had probably fulfilled it already, in fairness to him. Jesus was an outstanding signing for them. Again, as you were touching on there, the injury thing is a bit of a problem. It's been, you know, fairly regular at this stage, but when he's fit and available, he was excellent for them. The Havertz one is going to be interesting. Like, I don't know what to make of him, John. I watch him sometimes, well, and I think there's a real player in
there. To
me,
he's a moments player. And like a Champions League final winning scorer, moments. But he only scored 7 goals in the league for Chelsea last season. Now, Chelsea were basket case last season, 12th in the league. But I just feel that he does improve players, Arteta. Like, look what he did to Granit Xhaka. You know, yeah. He's left the club now. But yeah. They'll have to find some way of maybe letting him be a free spirit. Maybe when you've got Rice in there in the centre of midfield.
Yeah, I think to be fair to Arteta, he wasn't afraid to chop and change the team. Only with one or two personnel, but it would change the ethos of the strengths of the team depending on who they were playing.
Yeah, like for example, Ben White was centre half, and then he was shunted out to the right because of Saliba's form and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Tierney was seen as the thing, is no longer the player.
And to be fair, again, that's, you know, again, I think that's less down to Tierney having a collapse in form and more just down to Zinchenko's emergence and how well he plays.
You just know how Arsenal are going to play. There's a very strong system there, and yeah, maybe Havertz will fit into that.
But John, isn't it amazing? Like, you know, you hear this, you know, football is around how long now and you can't reinvent the wheel. Like, if we go through the 5 to 6 major teams this year, Pep has tried this thing of bringing a defender into midfield so that your shape ends up in 3-box-4-3, and in all likelihood we are now going to have Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal all playing in that way on the back of something that he has, let's be honest, invented. He's invented it. So he has. When we were told nothing more was there to be invented, he's invented a new way, and Liverpool have latched onto it and they're doing it now. Arsenal have latched onto it. They're doing it now. Like, I just think the man's a genius in that sense, you know.
Are they top four, Arsenal?
Yeah, I think so. Comfortably enough.
Are they challengers?
Honest.
Are they the main challengers of City, or is it Liverpool?
If there is such a thing as a challenger, if there is such a thing as a challenger, I would, I would probably favour Arsenal marginally over Liverpool. I think Liverpool have a lot of ground to make up. I think Liverpool have, I would expect, one or two signings still to make, because if they don't, I think they're...
We'll just get on to that now. Yeah. So they've signed Alexis McAllister and Dominic Szoboszlai. I believe they want Romeo Lavia from Southampton. Have they fixed their midfield enough? So if you say they want another couple, is it defensively, is it midfield? Because they have plenty of forwards.
It's the six, John. It's the six, without a doubt. It's the number six position for me. Like, it looks as though they're going to start the season with Curtis Jones in the six. Like, you know, he's not a bad player, don't get me wrong. But he's not the six in a team that's going to challenge for a title. And in fact, I think in a couple of preseason games, they actually played Trent as the out-and-out six rather than going from full-back into that area. Like, that's, they don't want to end up in a situation where they're relying on that. They've got to sign, and
a good, decent holding midfielder.
A good, decent... And I don't know if I'd be massively inspired by Lavia as being the solution to that one either, if I'm perfectly honest. He's probably an upgrade on what they've got there at the moment, all right. Look, I do. I think Alexis McAllister is a brilliant signing for him. I wouldn't have seen a huge amount of the other boy pronounce it for me.
Well, I think it's like, we've got so many Reds listening to the show, and so, you know, so Szoboszlai, the Hungarian.
Fair play. And I just think with Henderson, for me, look, I do think he was past the peak of his powers. Fabinho's form fell off a cliff. I don't think there'll be any, you know, major... Well, sorry, I say there'll be no major downside to him leaving. There is a downside if they don't sign an adequate replacement. I do think Henderson is going to be a loss. Like, he still played a huge amount of minutes last year, John, and I just... Look, I know he's getting grief at the moment because of where he's gone and the whole contract situation with going there. But he was an outstanding leader in that dressing room. He was an absolutely outstanding
leader. Milner's gone as well
leader.
From that perspective.
And another, exactly, very good point actually. That was gone out of my head. Like, they're two huge personalities, two huge leadership figures. Like, Virgil van Dijk is, you know, again, I said Vardiol, top three centre-halves in the world. I would say Virgil van Dijk is also in that top three.
Still?
Okay. Yeah.
Is that injury?
I would expect him, I think he can re-emerge to the level that he was at. I do think he can re-emerge to the level he was at. My question mark is less so over that. It's more so over, as a personality, he strikes me as a little bit flaky for captain. A little bit, I don't know what it is about him. As a person, I would be inclined to say, Virgil, you worry about you, and you just worry about getting back to the highest level that you were at and showing yourself to be one of the very, very best centre-halves in the world. I don't know if I would have burdened him with the captain's armband. I'm not. I don't know. Maybe there's
maybe it'll inspire him. Just on the best front three, because I'm looking at here. You got Salah, Gakpo, Nunez, Diaz, and Jota. Like Salah had what 19 goals and 12 assists last season. Some people were saying he'd an only okay season. He has got to be one of them, but who are the others?
I think the problem that they probably have there is that almost all of the other ones you've named would prefer to be through the middle, which means they've never, I don't know, Luis Diaz is probably the one most comfortable off the left-hand side. Is he Mane standard when Mane was at his best? No. So I don't think, if you take the old trinity of trio of Salah, Firmino, Mane, I think they've got enough options there at centre forward that the Firmino one is solved. I think that left hand side one is still a problem. I think, look, obviously Jota can play there, Nunez can play there, I think Luis Diaz is probably his best position, but I don't think any of them are Mane standard. I really, really don't. I think Darwin Nunez, if played as the out and out nine, I know there's an inconsistency about his finishing and things like that, but I think if Klopp goes all in on him and shows him a huge amount of faith and maybe stays with him despite not scoring for a week or two and says, you're my out-and-out nine, I think he could have a big season. Like, there's a rawness about him, but when he's on it, John, he can be unstoppable at times. Like,
he needs to have a good season. Yeah. And it can't be just one of these in-and-out seasons, I think, for Darwin Nunez again. I actually like Gakpo. I think Gakpo could have a big season. Manchester United, very good coach, Erik ten Hag. I don't think that's in doubt. Hoyland has signed today officially, £72 million, 5-year deal, 20-year-old Dane. Didn't score that many goals for Atalanta in the league, only 9 last year. Look, he's very young. But is he going to be the man you want to put your house on to be the striker? You'd much rather Harry Kane, I think.
He would. It's a fair downgrade. 10
years
on that.
Younger, obviously.
Yeah, it definitely is a fair downgrade on that.
This is a real thing with the scouts. Have the scouts got it right? Like, they could have it right and he could turn into a superstar, but a lot of money.
Yeah, and as you say, the scoring record wouldn't inspire you, really, so it wouldn't. Look, they had to do something in that area. You're looking and you're going, well, if it wasn't going to be Kane, who else was out there?
These types of players,
yeah. You know, out there and gettable. There really probably wasn't a huge amount of options. They had to get somebody. I mean, like, you look back to last season. More Vigor. Like, Vigor's going to Man United.
Scored 58 goals last season. Only 58 in the Premier League, Man
was
United.
Was it, yeah? I wonder where would that ranked in terms of the others?
Well, it was the same level I was reading in the Racing Post this week as Brentford.
Yeah, yeah. And look, obviously, he has his own issues. I was going to say, like, imagine Man United with Ivan Toney centre-forward. Do you know, that to me, I'm surprised that they haven't. I think I have joked in here when we were talking last year that I would have loved to see somebody like Mitrovic there. Do you know, instead of thinking of the future, go for somebody who you just know is a solid bet and is capable of almost guaranteeing you 20 Premier League goals next season. And let's be honest, they haven't done that. They've brought in a fella who could surprise us all and score 25, maybe, so he could. But his current track record wouldn't suggest that there is that amount of goals. But they had to get somebody, John. They had to get somebody because, like, it's blatantly clear for me that Rashford is best off the left-hand side. I think that's where you get the most out of him. Marshall, I mean, you know.
I think they have a very good first team when they've everybody fit and they've got the key players in there, like Casemiro, Rashford. Lisandro Martinez had an excellent season last season. We'll interest to see how the goalkeeper does. But when they're a little bit off, they can be brittle because you had the 7-0 defeat at Liverpool. You had the Sevilla game. They strike me as a team that they could beat Man City at home, which they did, but it's that consistency that, to be honest, like, it's 2013 was the last time they won the league title, and they're nowhere near winning the league title for me at the moment, Man United.
Yeah, I do think they improved. I do think they improved a hell of a lot under Ten Hag last year, in fairness to him. He got a tune out of Fernandes again. He dealt with the Ronaldo situation superbly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's got a massive tune out of Rashford. I mean, Rashford was unplayable for 3 months there. He was as good as anybody
got his confidence
in the world.
Back, yeah.
Oh, big time.
Mason Mount has joined as well.
Mason Mount.
Strange one in a way.
I
can't
really
work. You talk about Havertz, I can't work him out at all, Mason Mount.
I assume they're going to have to play him deeper because they can't play him 10. Sure, Fernandes has to play 10. So I assume, like, are we looking at a midfield three of Casemiro and Mount? So Mount dropping right in there beside Casemiro and Fernandes playing in advance of the two of them. So there's a big opportunity for him there because, like, Eriksen was brilliant in snippets, but he's of an age that he can't, you know, he can't consistently be starting games from over the course of the season. So I do think Mason Mount, this is a really big opportunity for him. But as you say, has he done enough to say that he's, you know, nailed on to produce? I do think he could do well. I do think he could do well. He's another one like Foden, I suppose, where I just felt this crack had been in the team, out of the team, in the team, out of the team. He strikes me as a player who needs a run of a dozen games or so and a manager who's saying, you're my eight, and you're the one that we're going to go with. Doesn't have to be every week, obviously, with the amount of games that they're going to have. But I think he would be one that I think could have a big season and could surprise people a bit, to be honest, yeah.
We're talking with Co-Ramblers manager Shane Keegan about the new Premier League season. If you want to get in touch with an opinion or a question, you can on 53106 at the cost of 30 cents here on News Talk Off the Ball. Just to bring you up to speed on what's going on in the Championship. So Blackburn 2, West Brom 0. And it's Plymouth 1, Huddersfield 0. And it's Norwich 0, Hull 1. And we have Stoke 1, Rotherham 0. And Watford 2, QPR 0. Goal is between Bristol City and Preston. Goals between Middlesbrough and Millwall, and also goals between Swansea and Birmingham. We had Celtic beat Ross County by 4-2 earlier today.
Just on United again, John, just I suppose the point I'm trying to make is, like, you look at the centre forward options at the other clubs.
Yeah.
And like, United are a million miles behind that in that sense. I'm just having a look here at the odds just to give myself a quick check of it. Like, Marcus Rashford is fifth favourite for top goal scorer, right? And he's going to play off the left almost exclusively. The next best on it is 80-1 Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
Like, there is, you've highlighted there from last year, there is definitely a shortage of goals. And there's, what age is Highland boy?
20.
Yeah, like, this is going to be an awful lot of pressure on a very, very young player there to come up with the goals. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
72 million is a lot of money. Newcastle, is there a danger teams will figure them out now? Very good defensively last season. They got a Champions League qualification, which is fantastic for them, but obviously they could be stretched because of that. They made a couple of signings. Harvey Barnes has gone there. Are they maybe just going to be around the same as they were? Like, are they a team that could be in the fourth, fifth battle?
I think everybody...
Sandro Tonali's joined. Isak and Wilson will obviously get goals.
I think everybody expects them to make more signings though, John. Is that like, you know, when you hear about the amount of talk of the amount of money there.
Yeah,
I think everybody expected them to make more signings and a few high profile ones. I've been surprised by how quiet they've been on that front. Really, to be honest, I thought that on the back of last season and the last season going so well, now that would be the footing for them to go all guns blazing in the transfer market and really start bringing in your, you know, kind of like we saw previously, say, with the likes of Tevez and Mascherano on the back of when West Ham had the good season. I don't see a massive improvement on the players they had last year.
Yeah.
And that, as I said, that shocks me, really, to be honest. Now, I think Eddie Howe, under the circumstances, like, you can say he had money. Again, they didn't spend a huge amount of money last year, I don't think. I thought he did a brilliant job. I thought he did a really, really good job. And I think he is the player that will get the most out of them, but I think they're in danger of falling back because other teams, I think, have improved more than they have.
Yeah. And the qualification for the Champions League brings more games and requires a deeper squad at a high level.
And that's what I'm saying. I can't believe, now, look, there's still time yet, I suppose, for them maybe to try and get one, but I don't even hear a huge amount of talk around more potential players coming in.
And now would be the time to be doing that.
Yeah, I'll tell you one that interests me. And I suppose he can't really do anything about it. Isak and Callum Wilson there. Did you see much of the day of Carsley's England? He was playing Anthony Gordon out and out centre forward.
Right. Didn't concede a goal. That's the one thing I remember about Carsley's under 21s.
But he played him through the middle. And look, it's a big difference between a 20s or 21s European Championship and a Premier League. But geez, he was electric in that position. He was really, really good there.
Played
quite a lot of money for him.
He also kind of had a strop as well in one of the games last season. And so there's a degree of fire there with him as well.
Yeah. But he is one that needs to kind of step up and kind of prove his worth, because he was a guy that was, you know, a huge amount to talk about about 12 months ago. But he needs to deliver on it now at this stage.
Chelsea, the reason why I'm kind of putting them in this prominence is, folks, they won the Champions League in 2021. Can you remember Chelsea won the Champions League? And they were 12th last season. Absolute the interference of the owners, just, I don't know. Mauricio Pochettino's gone in there, as we know, as Spurs fans, an amazing coach. I can think you can forget about PSG because they're a circus. His time there, the Harlem Globetrotters. But it'll probably take him a year. I'm just going through the Chelsea exodus. Havertz, Conte, Koulibaly, Mount, Kovacic, Mendy, Azpilicueta have all gone. In the last 24 hours, they've signed Axel Disasie and Robert Sanchez. Only in the last day. And also, we've got in Nkunku, who's joined from Leipzig, £52 million. Nicholas Jackson from Villarreal, £35 million. They need goals. How long is it going to take the reconstruction? Like, you surely you can't go in the first season and make it all happen.
Well, gee, John, if it was anybody else, I'd be saying no. But yeah, I hold Pochettino in such high regard that I would, as a Spurs fan or as a fan of a team who's, you know, trying to go after Champions League spots, I think any other manager would have been doing very well to transform him. I think I was reading the other day, 1993 was the last time I think Chelsea finished that low in the league table, which is just ridiculous. So there is a huge overhaul to be done. Jeez, Poch is that good? He could be the one. He really, really could. I know it's a kind of a, you know, it seems to be a constant scattergun approach to their signings and that. Nkunku, I have liked anything that I've seen of him. I think he could be a very good one. There's a little bit more of a gamble, I would think, over Jackson.
Raheem Sterling's form has dipped, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like it's a long time since Raheem Sterling has been consistent. No, it really, really is. He's another one who, you know, in a couple of years older, but I would have had in that Phil Foden bracket of world at his feet kind of a thing, and it never hasn't quite. I remember having an argument with somebody one night over whether Sterling or Salah was better. Like, that was the stage we were at that stage, you know, 4 years ago, let's say. But he's of an age that he still has time to reignite.
But it happened soon, though. I think it was the best move for him because
certainly wasn't last year. But again, Pochettino could be the sort of man to get a tune out of him. He definitely could be the sort. I mean, like if they can, I mean, Reece James for me is one who
class player,
absolutely outstanding, but is brittle as hell. Like, if they can keep him fit, even Chilwell, you know, I thought when there was a period of time there where the two of those were fit under Thomas Tuchel, and they were absolutely outstanding.
They were raiding.
Oh yeah, yeah. Look, they were raiding going forward.
You'd worry about the owners because Potter was there, Lampard. It was an absolute joke, and they just need to let Pochettino have the keys, and if they give him the keys and tell him to do what you want to do, then they've got a chance.
If you go through the personnel, like, again, think back to the World Cup, like, how good was Fernandes at the World Cup?
Yeah, like, I don't know that. My kind of theory on it, though, I don't think the quality of international football is anywhere near club football. I think then, therefore, he was inflated in terms of his quality because he was playing in the World Cup.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, Lucas Paquetá was in the Brazil team, and he's a good player, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Lucas Paquetá didn't impress me anywhere to the level that Fernandes impressed me at the World Cup. I mean, I was really impressed with his performances in any of the games that I saw. Just an absolute bundle of energy. Like, he reminded me kind of, I don't know, he's probably more creative than the likes of a Gattuso was, but that constant going and biting Duracell at everybody. Yeah. And I just, again, I look at him, I look at Sterling, I look at Nkunku, I look at if he can keep Reece James fit. Like, if they get their strongest 11 out and Pochettino gets a tune out of them, I think they do have the potential to bounce straight back into the Champions League qualification picture.
We've got a break coming up shortly. Shane Keegan here on football, previewing the new Premier League season, the Co-Ramblers manager. If you want to get in touch with a comment or question, you can, 53106. I will just finish off the Premier League clubs before we take the break and talk about the Irish system and the Irish players. Tottenham, as we both know, is suffering fans. It's about whether Harry Kane stays or goes. There were talk about a deadline set last night of $100 million bid from coming in from Bayern Munich, around that anyway, and the Spurs would need to accept it or they'd be looking elsewhere. I think it's all about that. And if he does stay, well, do they have the money to buy defenders because they conceded 63 goals last season, 30 more than Newcastle? And if he goes, can they spend the money wisely and even in time?
Yeah, I probably have one big plus and two big negatives when it comes to Spurs. I do have high.
Is Postecoglou the plus?
Yes, without a doubt. Without a doubt, John. I think I've been really, really impressed with him. I would have, you know, more than one eye on Celtic a lot of the time. He's been so impressive in terms of the style of play, in terms of the man management, in terms of how he himself comes across. He's just such an energetic, invigorating guy. You can't help but have confidence in your team when he talks. And I think he's a really, really good appointment by the club. I'm then just stunned that we've got to this point where they don't seem to have given him the backing that I thought they were going to give him.
It never happens though with Daniel Levy.
Like but John, everything was in place here, right? Like, you've brought in a really good manager, okay? Now go and sign two or three proper players who show that you're genuine about this and that you intend, at least at a minimum, Champions League qualification. That then automatically by itself takes care of Kane staying, because all Kane wants is to be in a competitive team, John,
and win trophies.
If he thought he was in a competitive team next year that was genuinely going to challenge for trophies, he wouldn't even be thinking about going. But can anybody blame him at the moment? Like,
no, he deserves.
Is James Maddison going to transform the team on his own? Like,
no, not at all. Well, if Kane goes, he deserves everybody's blessing to leave.
I think he will go, John. I think he will go. I can't see.
Talk about Brennan Johnson coming in if he does go. But it's just the timing of it. And Daniel Levy prides himself as a great negotiator, and he might squeeze another few million out of Bayern Munich, but at what cost? And
it's 10 years plus. Despite, like, it's a terrible thing to say. I'm so happy with the new managerial appointment, and yet, honestly, it's 10 years plus since I've been this kind of pessimistic about our expectations for the season.
I was offered a season ticket at Spurs, interestingly enough, and I wouldn't be that big a member. So that kind of said a lot to me about where Spurs are at and where their fan base is at. With Brighton, who finished sixth last season and are in the Europa League, all about our own Evan Ferguson. Only 18, folks, remember. 6 goals and 19 Premier League appearances last season, 10 in all competitions. Hopefully he can assume a leading role under Roberto De Zerbi.
Yeah, well, the first thing before I come on to Evan Ferguson is just Brighton as a whole.
Selling too many players, in my view.
Yeah, but that was inevitable. I think that was, like, that's the business model. I don't think there was any surprise there.
You just keep on getting everybody through time and time and time again.
They've managed it so far, but I do agree with you. It'll, you know, eventually, there's a little bit of a miracle to it if they continue to do it. But what I would say first on them is, I think the phrase I used last year was, like, I watched Spurs last year because I had to watch Spurs. I watched Brighton last year because I wanted to watch Brighton. Yeah. They were the team I most enjoyed watching last year. The job and that De Zerbi did, the style of play is just exhilarating. It's the most high risk strategy you can get. This crack of keeping four players on the halfway line as they try and build out with the keeper plus six. Almost every time they get out, there's a goal scoring chance for them. But if they don't get out, there's a goal scoring chance for the opposition who've managed to nick it off them in their own third. It's but they were outstanding at it, absolutely brilliant at it. And I you know, it's almost like I wish him the best of luck. I really do, because he deserves it, because of the style of play and the excitement that he's bringing to the place. I think he's going to do extremely well to be as successful as a club. I think Brighton are going to do extremely well to finish as high as they did last year. Like you say, there's just, you know, there's bodies gone there. It is very, very hard to replace. You're already punching above your weight last year, and now you've had one or two taken away on you. You know, it makes it incredibly tough. On Evan Ferguson, look, all the hype is real. He's an outstanding player. I just hope we don't expect too much too soon here. Like, I'm telling you now, like, Evan Ferguson is not going to start week in, week out for Brighton. He's not going to start week in, week out. De Zerbi has already shown how much faith he has in Danny Welbeck and how much he likes Danny Welbeck. I would say their starting time is going to be split pretty much bang down the middle. I think you will see, I will be amazed if come the end of the season, if the two of them stayed reasonably fit for the season, I would be surprised if you don't see 20 starts for Evan Ferguson, 20 starts for Danny Welbeck.
So in the Premier League, and they also have obviously Europa League as well.
Yeah. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a challenge. I'm sure when somebody gets in a goal scoring run, he'll keep them in there. I'm not saying that's going to be, you know, Ferguson one week, Welbeck the next, Ferguson next, Welbeck the next. I just think you'll get a run of games where Evan Ferguson might be in the team and might be scoring, and he'll start three or four games in a row, and then he might go a game or two without a goal, and Welbeck will come in. And the thing is, for him, when Welbeck comes in and he hits a goal scoring run, Evan is going to have to, you know, grin and bear it on the other side of that as well. But that's not to play down the potential that's there. The potential is massive, and, you know, what more can we say? We all know the attitude. He seems to tick all those boxes as well. And, you know, I'm probably not allowed to say this, but I'm probably looking, I'll probably have nearly more interest in Brighton this year than I will in Spurs, almost, in a strange way. I'll certainly, but
right.
Well, sorry, no, I'm happy to sit down and watch Spurs now.
You're banned from the studio, but we'll talk to Shane Keegan for another 15 minutes after this break. And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through until 5. We're talking about football with Shane Keegan, the Cove Ramblers manager. Just going through the scores in the Championship. We know that Southampton won last night and it's the first full programme today. Watford are 4-0 up on QPR. Come up to half-time, what a score that is. Plymouth won Huddersfield 0. Stoke won Rotherham 0 with Enda Stevens and Mark Travers playing for Stoke today. Goals between Swansea and Birmingham. It is Norwich 0, Hull 1. Middlesbrough 0, Millwall 0. Bristol City 0, Preston 0. Jason Knight in the Bristol team today, we believe. Just confirming that. Yeah, he is. So good signing for Jason Knight to move there into the Championship. And Blackburn 2, West Brom 0 is the latest score as well from the Championship. Earlier, Celtic won in Scotland by 4-2 against Ross County. No goals in any of the other games. Dundee, Motherwell, Livingston, Aberdeen and St Johnstone against Hearts. When we're looking at Aston Villa, Shane, I think they've got a very savvy, astute manager in Unai Emery, has won trophies with Seville and with Villarreal. Pau Torres has joined. Ollie Watkins can only improve. Yuri Tielemans has gone to the club. I don't know where they're going to finish, probably in the top seven, but they will definitely take some scalps.
Yeah. Look, as you say, Emery did an absolutely brilliant job when he went in there last year, taking over when he took over from Gerrard. They're a difficult one to call. Like, they're the one probably most who they're teetering on breaking into that group above them, but it also maybe doesn't take a huge amount to go wrong for them to kind of drop back into the bottom half of the table as well. They're the one that are, it's probably nearly hardest to call. I think Pau Torres is probably the only major signing that they've made. They haven't made a huge amount of signings. Diaby.
Yes, Diaby, it was expensive enough.
Yeah, and Pau Torres, that will strengthen them a bit. I think their biggest asset is their manager.
I think
he is the key one there. Like, you go through the team, and the team on paper to me doesn't scream top half of the table, or certainly top six or seven, really, to be honest with you. But he certainly got a tune. Now, you know the old phrase, the kind of the difficult second album. He did so well with them last year that, you know, he's going to be up against it to try and replicate that again. We'll see. I would think, you know, have they enough about them to finish it? They might finish ahead of Brighton. They might have enough. Whether they'd be able to get up above Spurs, as pessimistic as I was about them, and I suppose Newcastle, Chelsea next in the pecking order. I don't know if they have that enough about them yet. I think they could do with a little bit more quality there, to be honest with you.
Just racing wise, folks, to keep you up to date, the Boyle Sports Handicap Hurdle at Galway today. Ambitious Fellow was a 14-1 winner, ridden by Sam Ewing for trainer Peter Fahey. And the Lily Langtree Stakes at Goodwood, the Group 2, was won by a 25-1 outsider, Sumo Sam. Paul and Oliver Cole training Tom Marcond in the saddle. Sumo Sam, 25-1 winner of the big race at Goodwood today. In the rugby, in the warm-up game, France 14, Scotland 3. The moment, remember, Ireland play Italy at 8. We'll have a build-up to that about 4:30 on the show this afternoon. Just going through as well, the Championship as well. We have goals going in as well in that, with Watford 4-0 up in QPR. And 2-0 Blackburn against West Brom. Hull leading Norwich 1-0. Plymouth 1, Huddersfield 0. And Stoke 1, Rotherham 0 at the moment as well. You want to pick out any of the teams in the Premier League? I think West Ham, there's talk about David Moyes not being happy that they haven't done any business after the Rice sale. Obviously, they won the Conference League. That's a real high for him. Kind of papered over the cracks of 14th place last season. Not so sure about West Ham as a club in terms of how they're going to progress, where their goals are going to come from. Everton, I think, are real trouble. They've done no business, maybe because of restrictions around FFP and that, but Ashley Young, Arnaut Danjuma don't strike me as players that are going to propel them into the top half of the table. I think Everton, it's, to me, it's almost like there's a passion here that they're going to go down eventually, and it could be this season.
It's a hangover at the club, really, since Ancelotti left, isn't there? You know,
I think it's a hangover since the owner took over the club, Farhad Moshiri. Yeah.
Maybe that's it more so. It's amazing, John, really, like, without kind of us discussing the teams that you were going to look at, the teams you've named that we've done a preview on there, they are the only ones that you could say, hand on your heart, aren't going to be in a relegation scrap. I honestly believe from 10th the whole way down, it wouldn't surprise me if any of those teams.
Palace, Brentford, these types of teams?
Literally, not a whole lot has to go wrong for everything from probably the two biggest clubs you named there in the remaining teams are Everton and West Ham. Could you, hand in your heart, say that they, you know, they need to worry about being in a relegation scrap this year? I don't think you could. And anybody below them then, likewise, the same applies to them. What's been really kind of heartening over the last few seasons is how well the promoted teams have done, because it used to be the case almost that, you know, you'd be banking on two of the three of them going back down, yeah. So there was only one team needed to survive, kind of spot left. That hasn't been the case.
Fulham did so well, but yeah,
actually, do you know what it is, John? Over the last 10 years, one championship winner has gone back down in the last 10 years. Who's that?
No, God, go on.
They went down twice.
Norwich.
Well, yeah. Fair play to you. Norwich went down twice in those 10 years. The other 8 years, whoever won it stayed up. And again, the reason I'm kind of coming at it from this angle is...
Good for Burnley, good for Ireland.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Burnley.
Yeah. They've got a really good manager, obviously, if it's a company. Clear that he has the chops so far to progress from a player who wasn't playing that long ago.
Yeah.
Somebody who can manage, did well at Anderlecht and Burnley, obviously. And
now the challenge for him is going to be that they were all about playing football in the Championship. And, you know, is he going to stick by that regardless of who they're playing? Is he going to be a little bit more choosy in horses for courses, depending on, you know, is he going to try and play as much against a Man City, or will he shut up shop there a little bit more? But they're a team that I'm really, really looking forward to see. Who have they on the opening day, actually, John?
They got Man City next Friday.
Oh, Lord.
At home at Turf Moor, yeah.
that's about as tasty as it gets. Like, that's the game of the weekend for me there, straight away. That's the game of the weekend, just in terms of style of play and seeing how the two managers are going to go about it. For me, that would be the game of the weekend there. Just looking at it here briefly, so we have Chelsea-Liverpool, obviously, is a big one on Sunday. But I think we're potentially looking at a guy who's going to end up managing Champions League football in Vincent Kompany. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does as a man. Like, they're going to start the season, I assume, as one of the favourites to go down. Like,
yeah, well, I think Luton are the overwhelming favourites.
Yeah,
well, but Sheffield United, John Egan's back in the Premier League. I think Wolves are going to struggle. I think Wolves are in big trouble unless they sort themselves out. Nottingham Forest, Steve Cooper has been kind of teetering on the brink of the sack, has done well. If Brendan Johnson goes, what's going to happen there? Will Brentford do as well as they did last season? Remains to be seen without Tony for the first while. Palace are a bit of an enigmatic team when you're going through it here.
And this is my point.
Fulham, there's been kind of issues there. Bournemouth, once can you trust them?
Like Fulham, if Mitrovic is gone... Yeah. Fulham are in yeah, again, so yeah, straight away you'd put them in a team that are going to be battling.
It is hard to say what's going to happen. I touched upon John Egan there. Matt Doherty's back in the Premier League. Seamus Coleman's got another year at Everton.
Matt Doherty is definitely is going to be an intriguing one. Let's be honest, things just have not done well for him since the day he left the club.
Yeah,
he was probably the outstanding player at the club over a 3 year period. You think back to those
with
performances.
With Nuno and everything,
You think back to those performances, and he was. I thought he was near enough the best right back / right wing back in the Premier League for a period of time, and it's just all gone wrong for him since. And you really hope that reignites and kicks on as much for our Ireland set up and for Stephen Kenny as for any great love of Wolves, you know.
James McLean going to Wrexham, that's a good... Will he be in the Netflix series, I wonder, Hollywood?
I hope so. You'd imagine he's certainly the sort of fella who'll provide a few headlines and a bit of drama around the place.
I say that, folks, because Ryan Reynolds and Ryan McElhinney are involved in Wrexham.
Yeah, look, it is an intriguing one. I assume that whole documentary thing will stay going. It's been such a raving success to date. But you're very hard to see James not becoming a prominent figure and star of that show, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just going through other players here. Omobamidele, you know, where will he end up long term? We have Daryl Lenihan, obviously playing for Middlesbrough at the moment. Jason Malumbi at West Brom. Alan Brown is kind of a stalwart of Preston at this stage.
Sure is.
Jamie McGrath, you know, has been a free agent the last week. Jason Knight, as I said, has gone to Bristol Starts today. Adam Eda, Troy Parrish, you know, these players have kind of got almost uncertain careers. Mikey Johnson's injured at the moment.
Yeah, I'll tell you one, actually. Gav drew attention to it. Gav did a piece on six Irish players in the 42.ie to look at, and Finn is, I think he's still a Villa player. On loan at Plymouth Argyle, like this fella has serious ability, John. I've seen a good bit of him at underage level, and he is a guy who I genuinely think is going to end up in the Irish team. I know it's hard to predict with
he's on the bench
coming
today.
Through. See, there he are straight away. He's kind of making a mock of me, so he is. But if he can get a run of games in that side, I'm telling you, he's got so much talent. He really... Now, it's the Aaron Connolly thing. You know, it could go very dramatically in one direction for him or very dramatically in another. But he's certainly got the talent. It's just, I don't know enough about him as a person. If he's got the personality and got the drive and got the... Probably resilience is the key word that, you know, when he is out of the team, he doesn't throw the head or anything like that, and he stays going at it. He's got a hell of a lot of ability, John, and I'd love to say in 12 months' time that I'd love to be sitting here saying I told you so, as he's one that's kind of not come out of nowhere but kicked on.
Who's going to win the Premier League? Manchester City?
Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, in my opinion.
Who are the top four?
I would go City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea.
Right, Chelsea to get in the top four. Mm. And any kind of surprise this season?
I would like to think that the club will be Burnley. I do think they can do what Fulham did last year and really equip themselves very well and get in around the top half. The player one, I do like Nkunku at Chelsea.
Okay.
I think he is the one who could emerge as a really, really good signing for them, and I think Poch is the man who could get a real tune out of him.
Half times in the Championship: Blackburn 2, West Brom 0, Bristol 0, Preston 0, Middlesbrough 0, Millwall 0. 1-1 now between Norwich and Hull. Plymouth 1, Huddersfield 1 as a half time. Swansea 0, Birmingham 1, and Watford 4, QPR 0 at half time. Latest score: Stoke 2, Rotherham 0. We got about 2 minutes left. Shane, are we going to qualify for the Euros? Looking against us at the moment.
No, not a hope, John. Not a hope. But again, bear in mind, I am somebody who said not a hope once the draw was made. So it's not certainly anything that I've seen since then, and it's not anti-Kenny or anything like that. I just thought the draw killed us.
Not even through, maybe we'll have to just wait and see if the playoffs.
I know the Netherlands haven't exactly set the world alight, yeah. And there's going to be an expectation of us when we go into that game. It's going to be all, you know, complete and utter doom and gloom if we don't win that game, I'd say, in most people's eyes. Like, you go through their starting 11, is there an Irish player that would get into the Dutch starting 11? Genuinely, I don't know if there is. We're going to be massive underdogs in that one yet again. Look, it's tough. It's tough at the moment. We needed a kind draw to have a realistic chance, yeah. And we just didn't get it, unfortunately.
Are there players coming through at underage 15, 17, 19 level?
There are, John, but again, you know, and players coming through should be players who are expected to be regulars in the Irish team at 23, 24 years of age.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be expected. We can't expect... what's happened with Evan Ferguson is a once-in-a-generational talent. That's not... You don't get 18-year-olds starting on a regular basis for your underage team. So we've good players at 17, 18 years of age. It's 7 years before they're going to be at the peak and ready to backbone our side. So it's that far away, unfortunately.
Shane Keegan, as always, thanks so much for your brilliant contribution on football. And we'll speak to you in the coming months on Football Saturday, which is back next week with Dan McDonald and Johnny Ward and myself and plenty of other guests like Shane and other top football people. Stoke have scored again 3-0 against Rotherham in the Championship. Just so you know as well, Shane Duffy starting today for Norwich with Umba Bamadele on the bench and Ida on the bench, 1-1 against Hull at half time. It's rugby between now and 5 o'clock as we build up to Ireland against Italy in this warm-up game. We're back after the news.